Lisa Davis. Welcome back to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM, April's Autism Awareness Month. And joining us now is Dr. Michael McManaman, the founder of the College Internship Program. The College Internship Program's National Centers of Excellence provide individualized post-secondary academic internship and independent living experiences for young adults with Asperger's, high-functioning autism, and learning differences. During his 35 years of experience with students and learning differences and Asperger's syndrome, Dr. McManaman has worked on curriculum development, staff training, program evaluation, and administering community-based programming. He is a member of the International Learning Disabilities Association and the Independent Educational Consultants Association. He has an inside perspective, as he himself was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome and grew up in a large family with several individuals on the spectrum. Dr. McManaman, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. In an article you wrote called I Am an Apple, which is on the College Internship Program website, www.collegeinternshipprogram.com, you write, quote, "In 2003, my academic dean walked into my office and asked if she could talk to me. I said, sure, sit down. She was very hesitant and somewhat nervous. She started by saying, I hope you will listen to me, and I want to tell you something, and I don't want you to be offended by it, but I think it's important. What did she say, and how did it change your direction, both personally and professionally?
Basically, she showed me the assessment for Asperger's syndrome. It was about 25 things on the list. And she said, I want you to look at this, and there are a lot of things on this list, I think, that apply to you. And I, luckily, I had been thinking about this myself and had been somewhat prepared, because she knew me well enough to know I was pretty rigid and that I would have a hard time accepting the feedback. I might think it would be negative, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I had been thinking about it myself, and true to what she said, over those last 8 years, I've seen how more and more of them really apply. And there's a guy named Michael Wilcox who's on the board of Asperger's Association New England, who's like 4 or 5 years older than me, and he was a late diagnosis also. And we're going to try to present on this together, because the benefits of late diagnosis are enormous, because once you start to put things together, it explains your social relationships, a lot of what happened to you on jobs, in personal relationships, and in your in schooling, et cetera. And it's not like you have to go back and do psychodynamic work, but you just really get an understanding of yourself. And then, you know, understanding yourself is the key that unlocks your ability to self-actualize.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, you took this. And now, when was the College Internship Program founded, and what was your involvement?
That was 20 years ago in 84. And I started it, even though this is an example of Asperger's, because you can be very smart in some areas and be pretty out there working and making a living, maybe even, with still running into major walls and constantly and... But you have the wherewithal to do just enough to survive. So because I was in charge, no one could fire me, you know. And I was able to do a lot of things very well while still having these huge areas of remediation that needed to occur.
Rudy Simone, interviewed her yesterday. She's written some incredible books, and one that's coming out soon is Asperger's on the Job. And she talked about the unemployment rate, despite the fact that people with Asperger's tend to have really good skills in terms of, you know, they're talented, they tend to be really intelligent and focused, but then the social issues can get in the way. And it's a really wonderful book, and it touches upon some of the things that you had just mentioned. So,
it's what we call it, the behavior at the water cooler, and
that's the
part that's missing. So, for example, if you brought your lunch to work and you're in your cubicle and everyone's going to go to lunch to celebrate Pam's birthday, and you don't have the wherewithal, the cognitive flexibility to take that lunch and put it in the refrigerator, put your name on it, you know, and then go out to lunch with them and enjoy their company and have a nice conversation and get to know them. So you're not going to get the promotion. You're not going to be put in charge of other people, even though you might be there every day on time. You might know more than other people know about the functioning of the department and have great creative suggestions that you give to Chad, who takes them to the boss and implements them. And this is what happened to me most of my life until I couldn't really be a leader because I didn't have that skill set.
And, you know, in your college internship program, I'm assuming you must teach these skill sets, obviously, because it's so important if you want to keep your job and get ahead.
Well, it's curious because when I was diagnosed, then I started to become a student of my own diagnosis. In a sense, I became my special interest, and people on the spectrum are focused on their special interests. So the curriculum became my special interest. How can I find ways of helping these students get cognitively flexible? Because that's the main problem, is that if you're willing to work with people, talk to people, listen, ask questions, answer questions, seek advice, and, you know, poll your social mentors and find out what, you know, what, if you're making a good decision or not, if you're willing to do that, you can operate pretty much like everyone else and make and be successful. And that's probably why my the college internship program has grown so much, because of my cognitive flexibility.
What kind of programs do you offer?
Well, we locate near a set of colleges, and what we do is we have students go to college and we give them all the services that we get on campus. Then we supplement that with a whole comprehensive list of services, everything from residential skills to advising, money management, to academic tutorials, study halls, study groups. And then we have our own specialized curriculum, which we provide them, because that's just not enough. They can get an academic diploma and still end up in an apartment 35 years old without a job and, you know, being really strange. So we supplement it with classes like sensory integration, and we do sensory profiles so they can learn how to have a sensory diet and take care of themselves. We do wellness instruction where they can learn how to eat appropriately, take care of themselves. And we do theory of mind, executive functioning groups, skill groups, and those help them to learn a personal organization skill in their apartment and for their academics. How, you know, and we do that in a way that makes sense for them. We do it visually with posters and small groups, and we call it a bookends program, where in the beginning of the week they meet before they go to their classes that week, and they have individual tutorials in the middle of the week, and at the end of the week they meet again, so that they're checking in after the weekend, what did they get accomplished, and they're doing it in small groups so they can compare notes with each other and learning from each other, and then they're going through school during the week, and then they're preparing for the weekend. What am I going to get done? How do I get my outline for my paper done? How do I talk to my professor on Monday regarding, you know, this issue that I'm having with the class? So I went all the way through pretty much all of my schooling without asking a question of a professor. And I had straight B's without trying. And I know I would have had A's and probably been Dean's List if I had just asked any questions at all, or, you know.
Yeah, if you'd had these skills. This is so incredible. Where are these programs located?
Well, our four programs are located in Massachusetts, in the Berkshires, and then we're in Florida, in Melbourne, Florida. We're at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana, and we're near UC Berkeley in Berkeley, California.
Oh, that's
great. We're considering opening another program in Buffalo near Damon College.
Yeah, this is something that definitely needs to be happening. I mean, I just think, just listening to you, it just makes me so happy because, you know, I have a child on the spectrum. I know so many people have children on the spectrum who worry about when they get older and how are they going to handle college and what it's going to be like and how are their social skills going to affect them. And to have something like this, it's so promising and hopeful. It's really fabulous.
Yeah, let me talk about the social part of it a little bit.
Oh, please do.
An important part of it. We have a system of, we use social thinking, individual, small group appointments, and sometimes individual if a kid needs it. And that's based on Michelle Garcia Winner's work, social thinking. She's on our National Professional Advisory Board. And we do that, but we also use, in combination with that, social mentors who are usually master's or doctoral students on the campuses that our students are going to. And they work with them to help them to initiate socially and do all types of, well, we have 29 areas under that program. So we look at it and say, okay, what is John's major needs? He has three areas that he needs the most help in. And then we spotlight those in the social thinking and also with the social mentor. So social mentor, for example, I'll give you one example, which I think is a nice example. This kid was going to Berkeley City College and had a taking stat, and he had like a 110 grade point average because he took all the extra work and he was passing everything. So he had a really he was really smart, but he was pretty nonverbal and wouldn't talk and couldn't speak to people and didn't have any reciprocal conversation skills. And so when we got the social mentor, it was a master's in social work student, and she got her training through us, and then she took him out the first time. It's a two-hour session usually, and they never miss these sessions. Students always go to them because they really like them. And they do something the student's interested in, and then they meld in with it, learning about reciprocal conversation skills in this case. And so he wanted to go to the UC Berkeley stat department to check it out. So they Googled a map, and they went up there, and on the way she talked about reciprocal conversation skills. She just talked to like a friend would talk to someone. Like when you're having a conversation the first time, this is how you would, you know, talk to someone. You want to express an interest in them too and ask questions. So they got up there and they go to the stat department, and he asked these questions of the person, like, you know, hey, did you go to college at Berkeley, or do you have a family? You know, where were you raised? And has a little conversation, and then spends, of course, all the rest of the time on his special interest, which is fine, you know, stat. And within a two-hour period, what can happen is that the kid has a social mentor that he can ask questions to who's a couple of years older than him, who's a good role model. So he's developed a relationship with that person. He's gone up to the university in the community, made a good connection with the stat department there, and is, you know, on their email now so that he can go to the stat events that they do, which would be the boringest things on the planet to me, but they like doing it, and, you know, they do it on a weekend even. So he's learned about his main area that separates him from employment and from socialization, which is reciprocal conversation, and they can follow up on that on further meetings, and it's all done doing his special interest, so he's very interested in it at the same time. So you can see how the process actually expands the students, you know, helps them learn how to initiate, how to follow through and develop his social repertoire.
That is fantastic. I mean, that, like I said, it's just so helpful, and these skills are so necessary. And your program is just wonderful. And, you know, I wish we had more time. I would love to have you come back on again, but tell us how to get in contact with the schools, what people need to do to go, all that good stuff.
Basically, you can do one of two things. Just go to the website, which is, like you said, www.collegeinternshipprogram.com, or just go, it's 1-800-NO-CIP, K-N-O-W-C-I-P, if you want to use that. But you can get all the information, just call. Look at the website. It's very comprehensive because it's set up by ASB nerds like me. And
now, what if you're going somewhere where they don't have this near your college? Can people, is there anything online people can do or get help that way?
No, but what we're trying to do is have satellite centers around the country. We're considering opening three or four of them at various locations because this is what parents say to us all the time when I'm speaking. They say, why don't you start one in Seattle? Why don't you start one in, you know, in whatever, Grand Junction or whatever? And so we are trying to find a way to start what we call like maybe mini CIPs or smaller programs that can be out there so that people don't have to send their kid, you know, by plane or, you know, drive as far as they want. And this is what's going to happen anyway. And there's things opening all over the place. So we're trying to reach out and have it be so that our four main centers will be like flagships who have more comprehensive services with students who need a little bit more. And then these smaller centers will be for students who just need a lot of these services but don't need more intensive services or comprehensive services. That's the concept, and we're in the process of doing that right now.
Oh, well, I'm so glad, and I would love to have you come back on in a few months and update us on how things are going, and we can get further into the program. Dr. McManaman. I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I want to thank everyone for a great month. It's, you know, April has been devoted to autism awareness and Asperger's, and it's just, I've had so many wonderful people like yourself, and I just want to thank everybody, and that we're going to continue to have shows on autism, Asperger's, obviously, in the coming months, but this was just an extra special month. If people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great week. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.